Lord, help us today as in any other day. We love your support. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Thank you so much.
Oh.
Drew Wininger in the studio, myspace.com/Drew or Andrew. He's been here before. We talked about his depression show, and it's so freaking awesome, and I'm so happy that you're going to get another chance to put it on, and everyone's going to get a chance to see it. I'm going to come back again.
Just to see it again?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I want to feel that again. I swear to God. I was going to come to your second show the first time, but I don't remember. I think like somebody's birthday or something, and I had a pre-whatever. But it's definitely, definitely worth seeing more than once.
And it's good to see you still alive. And
am.
I'm glad when you were younger you thought about killing yourself and that you tried, because that was a great show.
Thank you very much, man.
Thanks for trying to kill yourself.
Thank you. Well, you know, that's my gift to the world.
And the show went very well, of course. We talked about it then. And you're going to be performing it again at the end of February and in March.
Yes, I will be. It's part of the Frigid New York Festival.
Oh, February 29th, March 1st, March 4th, March 6th, and March 8th. You can go to clinicaldepressionshow.com, clinicaldepressionshow.com. Make friends with them on MySpace, and then you'll be up to date all the time. MySpace.com/Drew or Andrew.
The show itself actually has a MySpace page that I need to spruce up a little bit, too. But it's MySpace.com/clinicaldepressionshow. So pretty easy to remember there. But, you know.
How are you now since we saw you last?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty well. I do have to comment on one thing, though.
Okay.
I listened to the show where you guys talked about my show.
Yeah.
And you were dead on. There was
Keith was dead on.
There was one moment in the beginning where I fucking blanked, and you caught it. You picked up on it. I just blanked on what I was supposed to say next, and then so I was kind of treading water for 15 seconds, and thank God my brain clicked in.
But you know what? I think Keith tends to notice so much because he's up there on his own just like you were. So he picks up on his tricks in somebody else.
And yeah.
So I think when you come to see Keith, you'd be able to see what other people might not see as well.
Right.
You know?
I am a professional, though. But to you, what was 15 seconds, you know, would have been half a second.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't 15 seconds.
And
it's just things artists can pick up, like that swallow wasn't natural.
Yeah.
You know, that dumb shit. Nobody knows.
Your best quote was, but I liked the show, so I was rooting for him.
Well, usually that's what it is. You know what? That's how not only did I just flat out enjoy it, but that's how I really know when I am on somebody's side, is because usually I would like the accidents. But I'm watching. I'm like, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't last long at all, but I'm like,
pull up.
Yeah, you got it. Pull up. Normally, I'm like, yeah, nosedive, you bitch.
Yeah, that's how you can tell that Keith really likes you. Seriously, because he has, when people have bombed and we've been in the audience together, he has whispered to me, this is awesome.
It is kind of awesome. There is awesomeness there.
I can't deal with it. I feel uncomfortable no matter who it is. Like, even if I don't like them, if they're not my friends, I'm just like, oh, you poor, poor thing. Because it is torture. Like Keith said, every second on stage, if you're doing well, it's flying by. But if you forget something or if you do something that you're just not okay with, the seconds are like an hour long.
It's like Ashley Simpson getting booed at the Orange Bowl.
It's like just like
2 years ago, I loved it. I was watching and I was like, this is awesome.
That might be one of the first things I've ever said to Henda when she came over to sit by me hit on me when we first met. But I leaned over and somebody's bombing on stage horrendously. And I'm like, this is great. This is why I come and I love it.
And you know what? I was in my head, I was like, wow, is that okay? Is this guy? And I just loved that he was so honest with me that it was just his thought in his head. And he told me instead of being like, oh, this poor guy, and just kind of putting on a front. And so I liked the regular conversation that we had.
Yeah, she likes that. I don't hide it. I think about throwing babies when I see him, and she thinks that's beautiful.
Nice.
Well, it's not exaggerating.
Only newborns.
I do want to say one thing, though. First, I want to thank you guys for, A, coming, and if I was willing to hold the show for anybody, it was you guys.
That's what I thought you were going to talk about. I didn't mean to do that.
It was a joke. It really was a joke.
It was a joke to my friend, and my friend took it serious and said it to your producer.
Well, no. I mean, and she came backstage, and I was like, that's fine. Because, I mean, I had the theater for 2 hours anyway, and the show's only 50 minutes long, so I had plenty of time. So,
well,
I don't know.
I
get those. I get the sweats and whatever right before coming out. I'm not going to. I wouldn't wait because some radio douche said. And then I get in there. It's like they're all, oh, you're from Keith and the Girl, and you're why we're holding the show. Okay, that's good to know. Thanks. And I go, yeah, okay. Where's the bathroom? I had to pee real bad. I'm not gonna hold the show up and then have to go to the bathroom.
Well, yeah.
Might as well wait another minute.
Well, it's really nice of you to do that.
I was picturing you slicing wrists behind the scenes, and I'm like, no, this wasn't what I meant.
So I want to thank you guys for coming, for saying such nice things about the show after the Wednesday show, and I want to thank all your listeners out there. I never saw this coming. I never realized that so many of them were, A, going to contact me on MySpace. A bunch of people came from your show. And unfortunately, a bunch of people wanted to come, but we were already over fire code by like 15 people, so there was only so much I could do. But I heard from a ton of your people, so it was awesome.
That's
fantastic. I just wanted to...
Well, here's a second chance for them.
Yeah.
This time, don't mess around with tickets.
Don't miss it, yeah.
500, yeah. So... The new theater is a lot better. Seats 100 people, so 5 shows. Everybody who wants to see it should be able to see it.
Support them.
Don't listen to him. Make sure that you get in there on time.
Of
you
course.
Thought that of your first show. Get out of here.
And get him out of Dave & Buster's already.
Yeah, please, people. I need to make... Oh, and thank you for... I guess this will be awkward if she's listening, but thank you for bringing Larissa. That was awesome. That made my night on Wednesday night.
Do you know that we didn't bring her? We didn't bring her. She went on her own.
Right.
Well, she listened.
Oh, she heard it on the show.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. You guys were directly and or indirectly involved in her being there, and I was pretty pumped about that. So.
Cool.
Sweet.
And she seemed to enjoy herself, so.
All I'm going to say is she's in the biz. Play your cards right, my friend. She's in the biz.
I'm working on it.
Speaking about Dave & Buster's, though, this is a horrendous story that I've been part of, I know the cringing.
Just for new listeners, we, quote, found Drew at Dave & Buster's. He was the most awesome waiter, and we asked him to be on the show, and he actually responded and came on, so that's how we know him.
I've never been recommended such good appetizers before. I'm like, this guy can be in my home and studio. And now he's just a cool guy, and so we invited him over.
It was just funny.
Yeah.
Like, I said, can I get a paper napkin or something? He's like, gum or something about, like, and I did want it for gum. And then by the time he came back, I'm like, too late. He goes, you put it in the sugar, didn't you?
People do that all the time.
I do it.
The most frustrating thing is we have those sugar caddies on the table, and parents love to let their kids, like, use them as a toy. So their kids sit down and just dump them.
Oh.
And then I'm the one left dealing with that when they get up. I got to put that stupid thing back together. So.
Aw.
And so you're finally, you want to leave Dave & Buster's. You were liking it, and then you started getting, understandably, getting sick of it. And you had another job lined up, so you put in your 2-week notice at Dave & Buster's.
Yep.
And then what happens to the new job?
I got an email a week after I got hired that, quote... I'm sorry, Drew, but unbeknownst to me, my colleague had already filled the position. I hope this doesn't screw with your schedule too much. And I was like...
No, I was free, actually.
Really? Yeah, you know, I was just hanging out there, so...
I was going to work for you. That was kind of my schedule.
Yeah, that's what I was planning for. So that happened. I was... when I got that email, I went white like a ghost just because I was so excited to get out of there. And then the rug just came out from under me, but it is what it is. And now...
And you're back at Dave & Buster's now.
Yeah, they took me back. They like me, so they took me back without really even...
What do you say? What do you say after you put your 2 weeks... First of all, Keith was surprised that you put 2 weeks in because he likes to quit like an asshole.
I quit. I have... Not only have I quit like an asshole, I did go to another job that didn't work out and try to get my job back.
Did they give it to you?
One time they did, one time they didn't.
All right.
What do you say when you want your job back like that?
Hey, I think I fucked up.
Really, really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm usually good with, like, most jobs I worked at had, like, 3 bosses easy. And I'm usually good with one of them. They happen to be female. And I'm always hitting it off with at least one of them. Not fucking them or anything, but hitting it off. And that person I can talk to, and she'd be like, well, you left, like, throwing the menus all over the floor. Fuck you. It might be hard. I'm like, see what you could do, doll. We had fun.
We got along, so... Basically, what happened was... Well, fortunately, I put in my 2 weeks notice, and when I gave the head guy my letter. He's like, well, you know, you always have a home here, so.
Wow, you gave a letter and everything.
Well, you have to put it in writing, so.
Oh, my God.
All those corporate places.
I was so giddy, man. I handed in that letter. I was like, voomp, here you go. And then I had to retract it. So, there you go.
Did you have to write it down? Like, I retract previous statements in letter form, or.
I've done this more than once. More than once. I just went back to the job and started working. And right, And then as I'm like waiting tables, like, well, you don't work today. I'm like, I'm on the schedule. Well, I didn't mark you off the schedule, but you quit. No, I think there was a misunderstanding.
Shut your face.
Sometimes I had to go home right away. Sometimes I got to keep my job.
Clearly. Yeah, a mix-up. So.
What the hell? Yeah. Wow.
I get letters like, Keith, I don't have waiter experience. How do I work as a waiter in New York? You just do it. You just, like anything, act as if. You just do it. Here's what would you like to drink? What would you like to eat? Oh, my God.
You know how when
How are they
going
to hire a convict? Don't tell them.
You know when somebody comes over your house and you're like, hey, you want a drink? And they tell you want, you know, yeah, they want like orange juice and vodka.
Yeah, what
and
do you do?
Go and you get the orange juice and vodka. It's actually less than that because you don't have to make the orange juice and vodka.
Right. No, somebody else. Yeah, it's beautiful. So I was working on a Monday and one of the managers was like, so two more days. And I'm like, actually, no.
And that's the thing.
And that's how word started to get around. And then, you know, fortunately, they're like, yeah, sure, why not? So I'm still there, going strong.
How's it going over there? You must have a different attitude over there now.
Yeah, I was telling Keith, like, it was that much harder for me to show up because I tasted freedom. Like, I knew what it felt like to be out of there.
Wait, what was this magical new job that you didn't get?
Well, I'm hoping that if somebody gets fired, they might still keep in mind. So I'm not going to mention the name of the restaurant, but it was a nice place on the upper east side.
It was still a restaurant. You'd be a waiter.
It was still a restaurant. I'd be a waiter. But
it was more upscale.
It was more upscale, better clientele.
You'd be making more money.
More money, less bullshit, you know. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem with waiting tables right now is just the people that I have to deal with. Like, it's insane.
It's pretty ghetto in there.
Oh, my God. Even Saturday night, you have no idea. It's just like run for the hills, man.
Wow.
One right after the other after the other.
It's so funny because we have mentioned this before. And, you know, Keith has worked in restaurants like most of his life. And the more upscale, the more money you're paying, the less hassle it is.
Yeah.
Like people are embarrassed to change the menu, to ask for, you know, switcheroos, to ask for anything that's out of the ordinary so they don't seem sophisticated, you know.
And on the flip side, the full worst is the diner where you walk in and you shout your order as you're walking to the table like you don't know how this works. Your eggs and bacon surprise is $1.99. Surprise, I dumped in it. Act nice.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It was like finer dining, and people sit there forever. You know, you get an appetizer, you get your wine, your entree, then you get dessert and coffee. You're there for like over an hour. So it's less work for me.
Oh, because you don't have to start over with a new thing. Everything comes out slowly, and the bill is a lot higher.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people tend to get a bottle of wine. There goes your tip, like skyrocketing.
Now where I work, you get your lemonade and chicken fingers. You're out the door in 20 minutes, and then I got to deal with a whole new set of people. So, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, you get a good set. Please don't leave. Please don't leave. Let me tell you about our desserts, please.
I know. Like, get something.
Do you recommend this dessert? I don't know if I recommend it, but it takes time. Please stay. It
takes 20 minutes to make. Hang out.
Chick from Arkansas, I believe, AK, or Alaska. Once I quit my job and set my contract on fire, when I wanted to come back, I had to pay for new copies and plastification of the contracts for all the staff. I'm not sure what a contract is, but...
oh, my God. All the contracts that she actually put together and was in her files.
Is that what it is? I guess.
I'm sorry, but if you quit like that, you're not coming back if you're working for me. That's just...
How can you trust somebody? Somebody's not going to flip out again.
I give her credit, though. I like it.
But what's the next... Like, if I piss you off again, what are you going to burn next? So what if you paid for the copies?
My fantasy idea, which I never would have done my last day, was to pee in the ice well. Or just start flipping tables in the dining room.
flipping tables.
Because nobody, you know what? Changing that ice. You mean like a big ice, what do you call it? Ice machine.
Yeah.
One of those. You pee in it. Are you going to let anybody know? Or like, are you going to be in front of people or are you going to do it behind the scenes? Because if you do it behind the scenes, only you know. For me, I need people to know.
I need to flip tables because, that's more out in public, and I get to flip it. I get to flip it in your face, and I get to physically,
you
kind
get
of
to do
remove
it.
The yeah. And whoever gets to flip tables,
exactly.
Right. When do you get to flip a table? But, I meant to flip a table. We were on that stupid show. What is it? boiling point.
Right.
And I was in on it. Like, Keith wasn't supposed to tell his girlfriend.
You guys were on that?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He wasn't supposed to tell me. It was supposed to be like he's trying to get me to my boiling point by using, you know, whatever actors they had.
I'm flirting with other chicks.
Right. And
or they're flirting with me, rather.
So we were talking in the car, and he's like, flip a table. I'm like, yeah, I want to flip a table. But I didn't do it. I just, you know, I kind of felt bad because I was in on the joke and whatever, and I normally wouldn't flip a table because I'm not completely rude. But I should have flipped the table and fucked them. I threw something in somebody's face, but not
beer all over.
But
that was
not
good.
Not like I should have dumped it on her head.
Yeah,
you know. And then what are they going to do? We were the first couple to go through this. They had to go through like five or six more couples after that. What does she do with her hair?
A
after
towel
that?
Wrap. She's foreign. She's from a different country all of a sudden instead of Russia. What was her accent?
Supposedly Russian.
Do you want the drink ski?
The accent was fine, but she was pretending to speak Russian because that's part of the whole deal is there are these foreign people and they're
Why does she have
on
to be foreign? Why does she have to be foreign?
I don't know.
They're hot chicks. Just
foreign
be normal.
People are funny? I don't know.
But they try to pretend like they're Russian, then they speak Russian, and I'm like, you are so lucky that I'm in on this because I would have called you out on your dumb Russian bullshit. And I don't speak Russian, but shnir, 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 shnir.
It's not Russian.
No exaggeration.
Yeah.
We're trying to help them upset us.
You aren't buying it?
No. And I'm like, can you do a little better than that? And then they're not pissing me off, you know? And I would never throw anything in somebody's face for hitting on my boyfriend. I would just walk away.
Right.
Like, you can't get me on boiling points for that.
My improv teacher was the big guy.
Oh, really?
The black guy?
No, they're just the big fat guy.
Oh, the white guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know him. Or know of him. Yeah. I'm telling you. Don't trust anybody that wears glasses.
Thick glasses.
Thick glasses. Yeah. Those thick black glasses. Quit looking at me. There's a camera in them, obviously. Who wears those glasses? Nobody. Nobody. Spies. Spies and assholes.
Really bad spies.
Yeah.
Spies who aren't getting anything.
When you were at Dave & Buster's, you had Keith and the girl run in with somebody?
Yes, it was actually pretty, well, yes. Basically, it was a Saturday night, and they do this really bad, borderline unfair thing where they'll just like...
Hey, you don't know me?
Yeah, no, it's like they don't care how big your party is. They'll figure out a way to put you in the dining room, and they'll have one person waiting on you. So they're like, we have a party of 25. Now, I think there's other waiters there who can handle that, but that's a lot of fucking people for one person to wait on. So they put them in this like, in this room that can accommodate them. And so there's 25 people. I'm running around getting beers. And this one kid, and I wish I'd gotten his name, but he comes up to me.
How old when you say kid?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's not. He was like probably a little younger than me. He was probably like 25.
Okay.
But
this is a kid in the 25 people party.
Yeah.
Okay.
He comes up to me. He's like,
Are you the kill yourself you guy?
Were you on Keith and the Girl? And I was like, yeah. He's like, wow. You're Drew from Dave and Buster's. You're kind of a celebrity. And I was like, it's this really weird moment when you're wearing an apron and waiting on people. And then somebody's like, wow, you're kind of a celebrity. And it's like, somehow I don't feel like one.
And that's when I quit again and peed in the ice.
Yeah. But he was a really cool guy. And the guy who was like the host, if you want to call it that, who brought everybody in.
Okay.
I now know because I saw him on that iPhone commercial, but he's actually an off-Broadway producer. Wish I'd known that at the time.
Aww.
I would have worked that in.
Aww. Well, his friend could have told
him. Now you know.
I know. By the way, here's the check and my script.
That's how things work. You just went to your high school reunion, you started telling me, but I stopped you to save
man.
It. When was this? This was recently.
What's this, a 10-year high school reunion?
Yeah, it was my 10-year high school reunion. It was Friday the 23rd, so it was last Friday, day after Thanksgiving.
Wait, that's a weird... Oh, I guess everybody's back in their hometown.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where is this?
It's in Jersey. We're at the Hilton Garden Inn in Edison, New Jersey. Ooh. And so the invitation comes, and my friends and I are debating going, and one of my friends was really into going, and finally we were like, yeah, whatever.
How'd they get in touch with you? I forget where you were
born. I have
born.
No idea how that works.
I
was born in Jersey.
Okay.
And somehow they find people. I don't know exactly how that works.
You're
it's all
on
the
anything?
Internet now. You know,
yeah, I guess because they found me at my parents. My parents moved, and the invitation went to my parents' new address.
Oh, the address, not an email?
No. So
okay.
First of all, it costs $100, which
wow,
that's what? A lot of money. Granted, 2-hour open bar plus food, but come on, it's $100.
That is okay. A lot, but I guess they're expecting people to have made it in 10 years, but that's bullshit. $100 is a lot because not only that, you probably want to bring, if you're married, your wife or something. Or,
right.
You know, that's $200. My high school reunion was in New York, and it was $75 a head. And yeah, again, I think it was open bar. It might have been past hors d'oeuvres. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I can spring $75 because, you know, if you want to go, you'll go. But I don't know. Then I started thinking, you know, it makes you think, like, who do I want to see? And I couldn't think of anyone, so I was like, never mind. I'll just find you on MySpace if I'm really curious.
I like this idea. People are thinking that people putting it together are getting the money. They're not. They did the best deal that they could. With the bar, you got to get these people liquored up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or it's very, very boring.
Oh, yeah. So...
Yeah, but give people... Why not just get the space, and then if you want to buy a drink, you can buy your drink.
I don't want sober people. They're good. Call it the high school elite. Call it high school drunks. I want people that are loose and having fun, not trying to figure out if they're still like, to figure out which clique is making fun of them. We moved on. We're over you. Tell me about your divorces again, because you're ahead of life than me. Mary.
So, I get there, and... First of all, my three best friends are guys I grew up with, so... I see them all the time, but there ended up being about three or four people there that I'm glad that I saw. But, so we start with the open bar. My first drink, as we discussed, was a whiskey and ginger ale. Then I go back to the bar with my buddy, and he gets scotch on the rocks. He's like, yeah, it's that kind of night. So I'm like, all right, one for me too. Man, I will put it this way. I was that guy at my high school reunion.
Please elaborate.
Fuck all of you, and I never forgot. And John, you took my gym clothes.
I remember there's several anecdotes. One, I was talking to this one chick. First of all, I kept calling her by the wrong name.
Did she keep correcting you, or you found that later?
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh my god, I saw you. Like, I was back in our hometown. I was like, oh my god, I saw you, totally randomly. And I'm guessing you're working in a hospital now. You know, you're wearing scrubs. She's like, yeah, I was working in a dentist's office. Now I'm running a dentist's office. And I made a joke about the scrubs. And she's like, no, I don't wear scrubs. And I'm like, wow, pretty sensitive about the scrubs thing. So I can only imagine what she was thinking. I went over to talk to this one chick who I worked with at one point. We were kind of reminiscing. And then I'm walking away. And sort of unintentionally, her friend is standing next to her, who was like her best friend in high school. But... I just said excuse me and went by. And I think she thought that was kind of rude.
Why? Because you didn't acknowledge her existence?
Yeah, I guess. But the highlight...
Did you find out later who's pissed at you? Because I don't see anything really that wrong.
No, but it was just kind of like...
The scrubs thing seems like someone's a little sensitive.
Yeah, she... No, well, when I walked by this girl, she was like, okay. But the funniest was that I cut the... I don't know who... I think it was somebody's significant other. But I cut him at the bar by accident. Because, like, it was a small bar, and, you know, there's not, like, a line. People kind of converge from like, all angles. And I thought he said, do you mind if I cut? And I didn't care. I was like, yeah, sure. And then he's like, oh, so it's cool if you cut me? And I'm like, oh, my God, did I cut you? He's like, a little bit. It was just this really awkward.
I don't like any of your students. I'm on your side. Keep drinking. I'm on your side.
No, I think...
Fuck all them.
I think they're being a little sensitive.
So basically...
You cut me. So what? We went to high school together.
A little bit.
And even if we didn't, shut up.
Even if we didn't. Yeah.
Shut up.
Oh, good thing that we all got together.
Yeah.
Suck it the fuck up. What's your school's name?
I went to East Brunswick High School.
Fuck them.
So,
oh my god, you cut someone?
Oh my god, you never changed, Drew.
Well, I'll say this, and then I don't remember anything after like 9:30. And then
did you say 2 hours of open bar?
Yeah, I was done. And then I started buying drinks, and I was done. And like, I'm hitting on the bartender. And then for old times, like we called cabs because obviously everyone was gonna be drunk, but. All I know is we went to this diner for old time's sake that we used to go to, like, late night when we were in high school, and I passed out at the diner, and my friend had to eat my sandwich.
Poor guy.
And then my friend drove me home because he hadn't been drinking that much, and my parents moved to one of these retirement communities, and they have, like, a gate, And after a certain hour, you need, like, a code to get in, and I don't know the code. So my friend pulls up to the gate, and we're trying to figure out how to get in. And at some point, I'm like, fuck it. I'm just getting out, and I'll walk. And my friend's like, no, dude, no. So I just get out. I do this thing when I'm drunk where I run. So I just get out. I just get out, and I just start running from the car. And so my friend, he called me, like, 10 times because he was pretty sure that I ended up sleeping on the sidewalk in front of my – which I made it into my parents' house. And then the next day, I had the worst – I had one of the worst hangovers.
Wait, you did fall asleep in front of your parents' house?
No, I didn't. He just – he's like, there's no way he made it home, but I did.
Okay. In record time.
Yes.
Are you kidding? If when I got – if when I get drunk, I start running, I would get drunk all the time. It's the best diet plan ever.
I know.
Oh, you're drunk again. No.
I'm just running.
Can't I just run at 4 in the morning?
So, worst hangover ever. Part of the problem was the food was so bad that I didn't eat anything. So that was part of the problem. And I had to work the following night, and I was just in a fog. Like, I was moving. I was, like, 4 steps slow. It was hilarious. Just being hungover at work, and I'll be honest, when I woke up, I puked multiple times.
Lovely.
Did it bother you at all to... this is the same time you had to go back to Dave and Buster's, so now you're feeling like, oh, this is where I have to go back to my job, and now I have to see my high school reunion and say what I do? Are you in a bad
head
at all?
Well, that's pretty funny because I'll tell you, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm acting now. People were unimpressed. Like, I'm used to a much better reaction, like, oh, wow, that's really cool, you know? This. Right. People were just not impressed.
How did you word it? Let's see.
Yeah, are you an actor or do you have a one-man show?
Well, I segued into that. You know, they're like, okay. Well, what are you up to? And then I was like, well, you know, since you asked, I was on The Sopranos, you know. That card came out flying. Like, right. That was just like, boom. And then I talked about my show. But I think that people assume that if they don't know you. Yeah, if you have to tell them that you're an actor, yeah. Then they're like, oh, he's probably not doing anything. So.
But you're telling them what you're doing. You know, I see their point, but
right.
You know, I see this. I don't like your school. I'm glad you graduated.
It was a little snooty, I'm not going to lie.
I like them.
But so there were about 3 or 4 people I was pretty excited to see, but I got way too drunk. And but, you know, it's like I'm not going to see these people for another 10 years. And even if they think that I'm a loser, who gives a shit?
Did they remind you about new things to add to the play about killing yourself? Like, oh, yeah, I remember you. Thanks for the reminder, douche.
Like, wow, you were depressed. Oh, my God.
And you're in it, too. And you're in it. And you're in it.
Wait, there was a girl. Part of your depression was about a girl, right?
Yes.
So did you see that girl?
No. And she and I actually talk a little bit, so I knew she wasn't going to be there.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's not like you haven't seen her in ages.
No, we became, I mean, we were a couple, and then we broke up when we were in college. I can't blame her because I was just being such a jerk. Because, you know, when you're unhappy, you take it out on the people that are around you. So I was not being nice to her. So
where does she live now?
She lives in New York. She's actually married. But yeah, we keep in touch. We talk every now and again. So I knew that she wasn't going, and
okay.
I actually spoke to her the next day and gave her the play-by-play. And she was the one who made me feel better about it. She's like, "Who cares? You know, you're never going to see these people again." So
Foo is saying, "Does this happen when you run the New York Marathon? Somebody get me another Scotch Rocks. I'm slowing down. Quick."
If you gave me Scotch on the Rocks, I could probably win the New York. I just run when I'm drunk. It's really weird. I become very, very agile.
He's been trying to give you beers and like, no, watch this. No, watch. It's coming. Look at his legs. They're jittery. Give him another one. There he goes.
He's going to do it.
Amazing.
So.
Here's somebody. I got, Fooey also. I got fired from a restaurant a couple of times and was brought back. The final straw was when I went into the kitchen and one of the cooks tossed that goo that you coat fried chicken with in my hair.
Yeah.
So I went in the back, got a can of peaches, made a glass of peach juice, and poured it down his back while he was cooking up that chicken. They didn't take me back after that.
Mm-mm-mm. Was he joking or was he being serious? Like, was he really trying to be a dick?
I guess.
Or was he like, hey, this is funny. Woo.
Why is goo that coats your chicken funny in your face? Like, ever.
Right.
Unless, like,
it's hard to tell if that was deliberate. Like, was it really throwing it at you? Like, could you have justified punching him, but instead you went with peaches?
I think both are justified, I think.
It's pretty funny, though. The people, the other waiters and the other people that I work with, like me a lot, but for some reason, the entire kitchen staff appears to not like me. And I don't know what I did to them, but
there's a lot of jobs I had. Just hateful chefs. Chefs are a hateful, hateful breed. That really take their job way too seriously.
Well, a chef's job is really just too hard.
Although remind you daily, it's not too hard. We're being a line cook sandwich.
Yeah, I don't know.
I prep the fucking. No offense to Dave and Buster's, but you're not Mario Batali.
That's what I'm
Relax.
Saying. I don't think anybody I work with qualifies as a chef.
low tech girl. I once gave my written notice and I left. Then I had to go back to that job for like 2 weeks later. The manager took me back, but hung my letter up on the employee bulletin board.
Wow.
I then left another 2 weeks anyway.
Speaking of hanging your letter, I got the job on a Friday. I had to go to Dave and Buster's and work.
I'm sorry. Fooey's saying he was joking, the chef. But hey, so was I.
Well, there you go.
What are you saying?
No, so I got the job. I went for the interview at like 2 o'clock on a Friday. I had to be at Dave and Buster's at 4:30 to work. I worked a dinner shift, but nothing could faze me because I was so happy to have this new job. Ugh. I got home at like 3:30. I stayed up, and I wrote my notice. And I printed out 2 copies. One, I handed in. The other, I have a bulletin board in my room. I tacked it up there as like a sign of pride. I was like, boom. And then...
Shamefully, you got taken down later.
And then my first idea that some of my friends were trying to talk me into was like, dude, don't fucking go back. Just figure something out. So I wrote on it. I wrote on the letter just to like motivate me. I was like, I'm not going back. And then I ended up going back. So I had to take a Sharpie and on the letter write parenthesis for long. So now I have this letter. Oh, God. That was great.
Hey, I fucked up.
I know. I was like, oh, I'm back.
Just kidding. So that was a funny joke, right? That was a good joke we did. Yolanda saying, for my reunion, my high school reunion, I decided to go in character. I had a bunch of kid pictures in my wallet and used the best pregnant costume I had. And then I started drinking, and everyone felt so uncomfortable until my 10th grade counselor gave me a speech on how alcoholic pregnancy screws with everyone's life. It was worth the $57. That's awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, I wish I'd thought of that.
That is great.
All week long, we've been... I'm kind of amazed, and people are saying that everybody has one, and I guess all the guys do stories about... Because I did. Almost everybody that listens seems to. A story about when they were younger, they had some kind of gay experience. Jerking somebody off, sucking somebody off, and it has nothing to do with them being gay or whatever when they're older. And I'm curious if that ever happened to you.
Oh, man.
I know it's a weird question. It's been just the theme bit. Of the week.
I guess since we're being honest, I can't believe I'm saying. I'm pretty sure I don't have like vivid memories of it, but I'm pretty sure that the closest I ever came to that was I think my buddy and I think we beat off in the same room, and we like decided we were going to do it because it was at that.
How old are you?
I guess like 12. It was that age where like not everybody was doing it, you know. And then it was like.
I think a lot of guys do that.
Yeah, it was like...
Isn't that a circle jerk, like, when there's more people, and you're watching the same porn and all?
I say, yeah.
No, it's true, right? Like, that's pretty common. Yeah.
So, I guess that was... I never, you know...
You didn't touch each other?
I never gave a guy handy or anything, but...
Who won?
Or didn't win.
Who ate the cookie at the end?
I think we were interrupted. I think my parents came home or something.
Nice.
So...
Lovely.
They came home and you just had to stop. They didn't catch you or anything.
No.
And then do you see each other, what's that, like sixth grade? Do you see each other in school and not talk about it? Was he at the reunion?
No, I actually know him from like...
When you guys sucked each other off earlier.
That's how we met. No, I actually know him. He was like a family friend. We didn't go to high school together anyway, but, we're still good friends. So.
Was it embarrassing after?
I don't know. I guess it's just at that age where you don't really think about it, you know? It wasn't, like, awkward, but...
Well, I'll tell you why. I had... I was really young. I think I was sexual, like, as a little kid. I think I was... it was definitely before fourth grade, because in fourth grade I moved, and this girl wasn't my neighbor anymore. So I don't know if it was, like, second grade or what. I used to try to play doctor with anybody. So this female, she lived like, I used to live here in this house that we are in now. So like in the next whatever over, like walking distance, not even a block away, this girl lived and my family was friends with her family. And what did I do? I think we played doctor. I'm not sure. Like we showed each other's parts and stuff. And there was,
you knew you were doing something, though. You knew it.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know what. I didn't even know what parts actually do, but I just wanted to show her my parts. And I can't remember if somebody else got in on it. I wanted to show her brother my parts, and so we did this little skit.
That's so funny that you gotta do games too.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you know what the difference is. Now we're an adult. We don't do the game part.
Yeah, yeah.
Show me your tits. We just yell tits. We're done with games. Tits. Before it's like, wouldn't it be something if we wondered how sensitive our tits are?
That's a good game.
Yeah, I think I had like a lesbian experience before a regular heterosexual. I'm actually heterosexual, so it's weird. Anyway, so I was completely naked underneath blankets, and she's like checking me and stuff. And then, you know, we went to show her brother my hoo-ha. It was fantastic. Anyway,
she didn't show her brother a hoo-ha.
No. And it might have been just me walking into the room, just kind of flashing him or something.
Hoo-ha, like a wink. Hoo-ha.
Yeah, or like, oh, I just dropped something. I'm not wearing underwear. I didn't even know why I was doing it. It just felt awesome. So then I'm in high school, and about my senior year, she's a sophomore, I think, and she transfers into my school and into one of my classes. Because I think it was like a language class, and I just started the language right, you know, over because I used to take French. So now she's in my language class, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, I know shit happened. Should I? I want to know if like she thinks about it. Like, okay, right. Is she kind of weirded out? Like, that's you. I used to show you my vagina. Do you want to talk about it? And I'm so upset that I want. Right. I even know her name now. I could probably find her on MySpace. You know, she recognized me right away. We talked to each other for a second. I think she gave me her number, and I'm like, I don't know that I can call you. I don't know that we can just be friends. I used to try to get you to touch me.
Too much baggage.
It was too much.
Do you think about, just to be funny, calling your friend up, like getting his number, call him up and go, hey, let's beat off over the phone real quick. Just like real quick.
He's married with two kids now, so.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, true. I'll give a call.
Another theme, of course, this week, for a while now, we've been talking about strip clubs, and my buddy Brother Love and I are on this taste test. It's going to be all around the world, but so far all around these United States, including Canada. And my favorite place so far, of all places, is in New Jersey. This is Matt, and he's writing in, I go down to this strip club in Sydney, Australia, called Men's Gallery. The girls there will sit with you, and if you are wankered, I guess that means drunk, as I often am, say, let's have a few drinks. And you say, yeah, and think you're going to have some fun until you get the bill, and there's a long fucking list of drinks, including theirs. Also, see, that's why I like any place that doesn't try to scam you. Always pay up front as a favor to yourself. As a favor to yourself, or $20 right after the lap dance. But don't start collecting things. You never get favors. That's what I'm saying. Also, this bitch of a stripper with fantastic tits tried to charge a couple of other drinks on there. So anyone in Sydney, be savvy about getting fucked and going to this place, especially if you meet a stripper called Rachel. The place is called Men's Gallery, who was once on Big Brother Australia. She got caught masturbating in the bath. Matt. All right. Any stripper story for you?
Oh, God, where do I start?
The most humiliating one, please.
The most humiliating one. I guess this is the story. I went one time with, you know, with a friend or whatever, more than like a couple guys, and it was just really, I mean, just as hot strippers as sometimes they tend to be, although sometimes, I'll be honest with you, quick side note, I went to Montreal. I've been there a couple times, and I went there once, and we found like this one place that definitely had the B team, man. And it was just like, they were just bad, but.
Was it all nude? Those usually all nude are the
worst. Yeah. But I was in this one place.
Did you say all nude are the worst?
Yeah. They're worse than clothes. Cause if you'll make money, more money in the clothes places, you will. And
with the clothes,
they will only take you if you're better looking. So it's actually easier for a chick to get hired. And then if you're uglier, it's easier to get hired all nude.
Oh.
Yes.
All right, so basically, you know how they like to sweet talk you or whatever. So somehow it came up in the process of, like, I don't know. I definitely had more than one dance from her because I liked her, that she liked hockey. So she's like, would you ever want, I swear to God, she's like, would you ever want to go to a Devils game with me? And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll go to a Devils game with you. She asked me for my phone number and obviously never called me, but I'm always like, why bother asking me for my phone number? Like, what?
It's so funny. That's the same trick that we had a Comic-Con yesterday, and she did the same thing. She showed interest. She said, let's go out on a date later this week or something, and he went to give her the phone number.
They
like
go
she
the
asked
extra.
Him for the phone
they go the extra mile. Like to me, the extra mile is rubbing my dickhead. Mm-hmm. That's like that's the extra mile to me. Like, what movie do you want to see? That's what I got to do to regular chicks.
Wait, this was a comic or a stripper?
He happened to be a comic that was over, and he was telling this story.
Oh, okay.
Jesse Joyce, and he was telling this story about how the girl's like, you know, let's go on a date. Let's get together and do this. You know, it's like,
and
yeah.
And he's buying it.
You yeah. seem, yeah, as you're grinding me in my dick.
Yeah. So, I guess on some level, I guess I, you know, I'm embarrassed because I guess I bought into it, you know? I'm
like, how much money do you think you gave her during these talks?
You know, what is it, like $20 a pop?
Yeah.
It's obscene what you spend there.
It is.
And one time, the most recent time I was at a, I got extorted. Like, this girl just came up to me. A lot of times they're like, do you want to dance? You're like, yes or no.
Let me hold your wallet while I dance right. for you. It'll be nicer.
She just started dancing, you know? And I'm like, I guess she's being friendly. And then at some point she stopped and she's like, $40. And I'm like, I didn't order that, you know? Right. It's like, we didn't enter into a verbal contract, so.
But you gave it to her anyway.
My sense is that strip clubs aren't the kind of place where you want to fuck around because they'll drag you out back and beat the
yes,
shit out of you.
I agree.
Babe, do you get taken other than what you explained where all of a sudden, that like what Drew said, all of a sudden they'll ask for more money than you thought. They went an extra, they're asking you for more money, but you already, you're having the thing done.
Right. No, I don't have a taken story. I know when I was in Georgia was like, I think the first, when I was in the Army, was the first strip club I went to. It was all nude, and it was fascinating to me. And they're just, you know, they're doing whatever. If it works out right, you will be able to take them home and fuck them. That's where it gets confusing. You know what I mean?
You saw like, they that will at fuck your first you. Club.
I did, but you know it's true. You not like they're. I know it sounds like they convinced me that's true, but they're hookers. You know, I see them leave with guys. They're mm-hmm. leaving. You're not going outside to go into a back room in the shed.
So what
you're
was your first experience like?
I don't know. I did get suckered spending money, but they did nothing wrong doing it. Will you buy me a drink? Yes, I'm buying you a $20 orange juice for no reason, you know? Mm. I mean, what do I... You're already a whore. Like, why am I thinking I need to liquor you up?
Right, right.
So
what's the most money you've spent?
I know when I first got to New York, I probably spent... And this is nothing. I probably spent $100 and I thought it was a lot. I may have spent two. And I'm like, ah, oh, these bitches. But
you've
but they didn't trick me at all. Oh, I know. The most might be like 300. Well, 100 to 125 for the chick. 145 for the come in my pants dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe three dances, $20. So about $200 maybe I spent.
Okay. That's so not up that's, there with some people get taken.
No.
I love how you run out of cash, and they always have ATMs there that charge like a $4 surcharge.
$10 or $20, no exaggeration.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's just so...
The one in New Hampshire was $10,
$10,
right?
The ones in New York are $20.
It's such entrapment.
And you think, and you're drinking, you think you're seeing $2. ATMs should have breathalyzers on them. I don't think it's fair.
Are you sure you want this much money? Yes.
All right. Very good suggestions, by the way, Fooey. Thank you. By the way, let me say this before we move on. I should have started with it. Dancing with the Stars winner. We have it. Helio Krasnovas won. Congratulations. He's the celebrity, by the way. You know him. Helio Krasnovas. We all know him. Good job, buddy.
He's a race car driver.
Yes, he is.
Oh, really?
Do you follow race cars at all? Do you follow Indy or anything?
Not really, but I guess I watch a lot of SportsCenter. I don't know.
It will look so good between my two Indy 500 trophies, he said.
It'll look like they're dancing with
yes.
it.
I look forward to be called half a fag, but dancing's cool now. I was not expecting it. I beat out, who is it? Melanie Brown. She's an incredible dancer.
Who's that?
Is Melanie Brown, is she from the Spice Girls?
Oh, is she?
I think that's
Melanie
the name.
Is the name of the Spice Girl. Maybe.
Mel B?
Yeah.
Crazy Spice?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Could just be making it up.
The pictures will be up on keithandthegirl.com under all episodes.
It doesn't say here, you know, Spice Girls Mel B.
That is weird. So no, but it's him talking, so it's not like he would say, I beat out Spice Girls Mel B.
Right.
So.
Yep. See, it was an upset. Both couples.
And Fooey saying, yes, it is her.
Okay. The couple that they beat and him both received perfect scores of 30 from the judges in their final dances. But the Brazilian race car driver's personality and enthusiasm, plus an effortless quick step on his final performance, earned enough viewer votes to win. Losing was a horrible feeling, the Hot Spice Girl said. I'm not going to deny it.
By the way, she could never dance.
Really?
If you look at old videos of Spice Girls, none of them had talent. The Sporty Spice had talent, both vocally, and she can do gymnastics and whatever. But Melanie had a hard time keeping a beat, even in the videos. All of them did. She was terrible.
Some other follow-ups of the week. Hulk Hogan's wife said in the divorce petition that we talked about that she wants a share of the family's two multi-million dollar Florida properties, plus alimony and child support for their 17-year-old son. I think the
child
son's just fine.
Is hilarious.
I think the son's just fine.
But nobody
they have
saw
a daughter
this.
Too. He doesn't give a shit about her.
She's okay.
But we didn't see this coming. I mean, they've been together for a really long time. This is actually a normal sounding.
I got a feeling she's going to get half of everything. She should get half of everything they did since that show, not half of all the rest. I do remember that time. What was it? SummerSlam 74. And Hogan tagged in his wife, and his wife came in real quick and did a power-saving move, and that let Hulk Hogan get back on his feet. She popped some vitamins and then hand-slapped him back, and then he won the match.
Yes, I get what you're saying. It was Linda, the way the law works.
Remember,
if they
Linda
don't have
Hogan,
a prenup,
Linda Hogan and
hers.
Andre the Giant, I remember, that match. Was that the first super match?
I don't know. What I do know
I think that was the first WrestleMania. I think Linda Hogan jumped in. I remember when she went against Superfly Jimmy Snuka. And just started clotheslining him.
All I remember is when I don't think Michael Jordan ever actually got divorced, but his wife, Juanita, filed for divorce. I don't remember which comic it was, but some comedian was talking. I don't know if it was on late night TV or whatever. He's like, I got to be honest with you. I've never seen Juanita hit a jump shot. So
that's what I was saying.
I don't know why she's getting half of.
Yeah, did he pass the ball to her real quick? Nobody expected it, and she passed it back, and that's when he made the layup. And it's like, yes, you do deserve half. Good job. 148. What is it? It was insane. It's like $148 million or something was the settlement. Whatever
Michael,
it was,
yeah.
It was the highest ever.
Okay, what do you think? And I have no idea.
Another record he broke.
I really don't have an answer to this, but what do you think is legitimate? After living with somebody for 20, 30 years, let's say, which is like your adult life, I think, 20, 30 years, right?
I have the answer.
You get divorced, but while you were together, one of you made it. Doesn't matter if the guy or girl. One of you made it. The other one, you know, just kind of supported, I guess. You know, you assume. What is the right settlement there? Do they live just all of a sudden a just regular life of, let's say, $50,000 a year?
Here's the settlement. An apology. I'm sorry. I could have done the dishes. Yeah?
No, but do you think that you would, you know...
If she's the one who cheated, I think that's a factor.
Cheating is a factor, but let's say there's no cheating.
I don't picture them cheating.
Cheating is a factor. Like, if you cheated on me and I'm the one who made it, you can go fuck yourself because you knew what that meant. That meant no more for you, right? Okay, that's in the verbal contract when you say I do, I think. Okay? There's no cheating. You guys just don't get along anymore. It's just not for you anymore.
Just because we're here. Let's say I'm the only radio person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's how I made my money, and you take care of the house and whatever.
Okay.
Was I already a radio star before we got together?
No. No, we moved together forward, but you moved together forward in a radio way.
Then you can have half.
Okay. What do you think?
Under that scenario, I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
You make a good point. It's a tough call.
Because, you know, technically, I didn't make you rich, you know? But while people are together, they go, oh, and, you know, thank God I had my wife. Thank God I had my husband. Yeah. Big support for me. But then when they get divorced, it's like, and mind you, I don't care.
Because you have to say that.
I know.
You have
well,
to say that.
Some people mean it. Some people mean it. But mind you, if I had $150 million, that's a lot of money. $75 million still seems like a lot to hand to somebody. You know, I'm still going to live perfectly fine, but I can get why it angers somebody. Like, wait, I'm giving you money and we're not together anymore. And
that's why I'm never accepting an award or a presentation or anything. I'm never going to say, thank you, Hemda. Couldn't have done without you. I'm going to go, hey, Hemda, aces. Something like that. I won't even say we did it. You see what's happening, Hemda.
Aces.
Wink. Something like that. I just don't need it used in court.
I love how Keith thinks he's doing that when it's already too late. Just read the insides of his DVDs. I'm set.
Oh, you're good to go?
I'm good. It's even on his, one time on stage, 2 years ago, he said, and I love her. And I'm like,
you want to hear somebody's been thinking about this. Guess who owns 51% of the company?
No Kenda. One.
Don't you?
No.
No?
No. I was asked and I said 50-50.
Is it 50-50?
Yes.
Is it?
Absolutely.
This company?
Yeah,
yes,
keep them
this
go.
Company. What makes you think I took 51?
I thought it was 51.
Absolutely not.
Just because
somebody has to? They don't have to. You sign papers. Jesus.
I don't sign them. Did I sign them?
Does somebody else own this?
Wink.
No. We're now an LLC.
Right.
So we have to sign papers to be that. And you have to decide at that point what percentage, because it is a partnership. So you have to decide what percentage is what partnership. And I made sure to say 50-50. I mean, I dealt with that part of it, but it's not like I left him completely 51%. You are hilarious.
I thought that's what you did.
No.
You okay?
That's funny. And you just signed that?
I don't know. You're the one doing all the work. Do you drive to the meetings all the time? Take a percent. What do I care?
You're so cute.
You can have it. It's yours, baby.
Well,
she's the one who always picks me up. So
I'm going to buy a good lawyer. That 51% means nothing.
I dare you.
Look at the uncomfortable look you talk about.
How's it going, Drew?
Hanging in there.
So anyway, Linda Hogan filed for divorce against Hulk, whose real name is Terry Bollea, last week after 24 years of marriage, saying the marriage is irretrievably broken. The marital assets that need to be equitably divided include the nearly 17,000 square foot mansion in Bel Air, where the family lives, in the 3,474 square foot home in Clearwater Beach. Just take one of them. How about that?
You take this one, I'll take that one.
Just take one. Everybody needs everything. Mm. We told about this story yesterday. Mind the gap and don't let the door hit you on the way out. The agency that runs London Subway fired the woman that records its general reminders for riders such as Mind the Gap because she dissed the system. Emma Clark, 36, raised the ire of transport officials by telling the Mail newspaper that she hates the subway, quote, "The thought of being stuck in the tube with strangers for minutes on end and having to listen to endless repeated messages of my own voice fills me with horror." And I didn't really think that was so horrible. You don't want to be there and hear your voice, you know, over and over again. And I found out that that isn't the real reason. That she took, I have to find this real quick. She took clips on her website.
She did something different than you thought?
Yes, here it is. I found it. Okay. She took, I'm going to play some clips on that she put on her website where she made fake announcements as if they would be played on the subway.
Okay.
And these are so horrible that she had to get fired.
I can't believe she has a website.
She has her own website.
Wait. So they found her website.
They found her website.
But she never did anything with these clips. These were just funny ha-has for herself and whoever happens to go on her website.
Exactly.
Could have been anybody, but she happens to be the voice of whatever really happens.
Yes.
That's why she was fired?
Yes.
That's not fair.
Emma Clark is her name. EmmaClark.com, C-L-A-R-K-E. Hi, thanks for stopping by is on our website. Unfortunately, my site is currently overwhelmed by the number of people wanting to download MP3s of my spoof tube comments, the subway comments. Please check back in a day or so. Thanks, Emma. I, of course, have them anyway. An official announcer for London's tube system has been sacked after making spoof messages mocking American tourists. Voiceover artist, Emma Clark, 36, recorded the announcements in the same smooth tones that have warned millions of passengers to mind the gap and posted them on her website.
Do not drop litter on the train. Please use the tramps provided.
I don't get English humor.
That actually seems like a polite thing to say.
I know. That makes sense.
Actually, they tell New Yorkers to do that all the time.
Please help.
Yeah, don't litter.
But keep the subway clean and litter free.
The humor, though. Uh-huh. O-U-R is use the tramps provided. Use the hose.
Oh, really?
That's what I think. It's very dry, this humor.
Evidently.
Warning. This is an emergency. I've chipped a nail.
See, I don't get how this is mocking Americans.
Wait, it's coming.
Oh, okay.
But that's there's no funny in that.
I'd fire you for that.
Yeah.
Would the passenger in the red shirt pretending to read a paper but is actually staring at that woman's chest please stop? You're not fooling anyone, you filthy pervert.
I like that.
All right.
We'd like to remind our American tourist friends that you are almost certainly talking too loud.
I like that one.
So Americans, is that humor, by the way? I do like that one.
But wait.
So Americans are allowed.
The English are allowed too, though, aren't they?
Apparently, you would think that, but she's telling you. That's where the joke is. Okay. You don't even know. We're always loud on their tube, mate. We're always too loud and not appreciating the Big Ben. We get it. It's a clock. Fantastic. Did you see the clock today? Dong. Amazing. Put some guards on it. That's incredible.
Not doing it for you?
I don't get it. I have watches. It's a few. Maybe back in the day when that was the only clock, everybody used sundials. But now I got clocks on my wrist. Bong! But it's real big.
Passengers should note that the bearded gentleman's rucksack contains the following items only. Some sandwiches, a library card, and a picture of a bare ankle, and is no cause for concern.
I don't get it.
I think they're like...
Not a terrorist, just a loser.
Oh. She needs writers. Is it because of the strike? Maybe what's happening? Worldwide. Is the strike out there, too? What's going on?
Passengers are reminded that a smile is actually a friendship signal, not a sign of weakness.
Well, now she's just teaching us things. Yeah. That's just a deep one. You got to slide in the deep ones while you're cracking people up.
Would the gentleman in the pinstripe suit and £1,000 glasses, who obviously works in the media, please take one step forward onto the track as the train arrives? Thank you.
Oh, she doesn't like people.
Because you will most rightly die.
Suicide is not funny.
You. Residents of London are reminded that there are other places in Britain outside your stinking shithole of a city, and that if you remove your heads from your arses for just a couple of minutes, you may realise that the M25 is not the edge of the earth.
Now that's local. Maybe that's why I don't get it. Drew's loving this girl. This girl's aces.
He likes them feisty.
Maybe I just don't get it. I will say, in all fairness, what does everybody love? Monty Python. I don't get it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't get it. I know I'm wrong. I'm the only one. I don't get it.
Passengers are reminded that, like all voiceover artists, I probably look nothing like you imagine and may turn out to be somewhat of a disappointment. Would passengers filling in answers on their Sudokus please accept that they are just crosswords for the unimaginative and are not in any way more impressive just because they contain numbers?
I do find that true. I do find that true.
You find Sudoku people to be snooty?
That is true. Another thing, I don't like people who do Sudoku.
What did she say, that she's ugly and you guys will be disappointed?
I've seen her picture. She's not ugly. She's not, you know, I wouldn't pay her $20 for a dance, but she's right normal. She's a right normal old mate. Pip, hip. I'd take her out to the Big Ben.
Oh.
I would. Oh. Buy her a scone.
Here we are again, crammed into a sweaty tube carriage. And today's Wednesday. Only two more days before you can binge drink yourself into a state of denial about the mediocrity of your life. Oh, for goodness sake. If you're female, smile at the bloke next to you and make his day. He's probably not had sex for months.
That's not funny.
These are, these are long jokes, like long, weird, yeah. Just written bad.
Yeah, how about you just say what people tell you to say, honey?
Her voice is awesome, though.
That's the humor. That's English humor. Did you English people love it? That's English humor.
I feel like she's saying things like...
He probably hasn't had sex. Probably not.
I feel like
put Benny Hill behind it. Okay.
I think she's saying stuff like, if you had garlic last night, you should know your breath smells like garlic. Mm-hmm. And other people are aware of it also.
Your topic of conversation isn't the most interesting thing in the world. I get it, honey. You're fired. You're fired.
That shirt that you wore seems like your mother picked it.
Adam Gillespie filling me in from Kent, England. The M25 is a motorway road that goes around the city in a complete circle. I figured that, or it really was the end of the line of a train. That doesn't make it brilliant. Oh, so you can walk past that. Some people don't realize.
Are they going to take her announcements down? Is that what, or they're just not going to use her anymore?
They're not using... Well, you know what? I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure they still have permission to use, you know, mind the gap. And she was like, I can say more. I can do other things.
But there are new announcements all the time, so much so that that's her only employment?
I guess so, you know?
It's nutty.
Like, maybe she says, you know, instead of in America, I don't get no train. I said no trench train. And she takes the time to tell you nicely, you know, there are no transfers on the Bullock Express.
Oh, today they're doing construction on such and such. You're going to have to take a different train because they're rerouting, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yes. That's a great job.
Some of the lines have that. Here, the automated. I like it.
Like the 6 train? The really cool super train?
The 6, the N.
Let me make one suggestion because I've been doing this radio show for a little bit and I know where this is going to go. England. Big Ben is the bell, not the clock, FYI. Okay, I get it now. A bell. A bell. Did you see their bell? Wow, that is fucking fascinating.
But it's inside the clock, right?
Well, that's a bonus. That's like why it's extra good. Like, yeah, it's a bell, but it could tell you what time it is, too.
The clock's name is not Ben. The bell's name is Ben.
Let's all get together. Right, let's all get together straight. And watch it. Here it comes, here it comes. Bong! Amazing. Let's get on the plane. Go back home. Take the tube. Take the tube.
The tube is obnoxious, by the way. I've been on it. It's not the most convenient thing in the world.
You know what else is obnoxious?
It's shaped like an X, so the only transfer is in the center.
I'll tell you what else is obnoxious.
Your
jolly old cops.
That's what I remember, yeah.
I do like where this is going, but I can't wait for the feedback to start popping up.
Of how ignorant we are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's a bell, and it's beautiful. You don't even get it. Was it used in a war? Was it used in a war? The bell. Did somehow it, like, bring the troops home or something?
Here we go. We're going to look ignorant again. And I have no idea.
No, it didn't. I do know. It wasn't a question. Oh, well.
And I was going to say this also. Legion says, well, to be fair, we have a bell and it's broken.
It's not all we have. We have other shit. We have a little more shit than that in this country.
We do take kids to go visit it and look at it. Ooh, it's broken.
Yes.
We have a statue.
We can climb the statue.
We have a Grand Canyon.
We got a few things. You guys got a bell, and you can gather around and talk about the Beatles.
We have a building.
Who, by the way, left your country for America.
We have what used to be buildings.
That's going to hurt them, by the way, the Beatles part. They didn't come to America.
That's crossing the line.
Didn't they?
You have Oasis. Thank God for that.
Bong! Ooh! Ooh, that's the Bellagio to you people. That's the fountains we have in Vegas that go up to songs. Bong! Fantastic. I happened to catch it. Bong!
Amy Winehouse.
Who canceled her tour, by the way.
Oh, why?
Yeah, she can't go on without her husband, and she started spitting on crowds, and she quit.
Oh, I thought it was because she does drugs a little too often.
Bong!
Probably a little bit of both.
Nice job, people. Bong. Oh, well. And that's what I want, too, throughout the fucking day. Bong. All right. Done with England.
Okay.
Britain. UK. How about one thing? How about one thing? Call your thing one thing. 7 different things. All the packages we sent from Keith and the girl to England are all going to the exact same country, sometimes the exact same town, but 20 different names. 20 different names for a country. Figure it out, identity crisis.
The post office thing, like we have a program where I put the address in and then print out the labels, and the post office always, the program always tells me that we don't favor the United Kingdom and I should pick something else.
That's so weird, yeah.
Yeah, and I have no idea what to tell the program except just fucking print it. Right. And it gets there anyway.
Give me my goddamn label.
I'm like, they go, well, we don't really favor the thing United Kingdom. Like, so I hit okay, and it prints. Thanks for letting me know. That's cool.
New York City, a judge was bounced from the bench after jailing 46 people over ringing cell phones. A sign in Niagara Falls City Court warns that cell phones and pagers must be turned off. Folks there believe it. On Tuesday, a judge was bounced from the bench for jailing 46 people after no one would own up to the cell phone that began to ring during court. A cell phone rang. The judge says, whose cell phone is it? I'm serious. Nobody would cop to it, so he put all 46 people in jail. The judge...
Oh, but then he was bounced.
And then they said, okay, you're fired now.
Oh, okay.
Judge Robert Rostayan snapped and engaged in what can only be described as 2 hours of inexplicable madness. He was a full-time judge, blah, blah, blah. Everyone is going to jail, the judge said. Every single person is going to jail in this courtroom unless I get that instrument now. If anybody believes I'm kidding, ask some of the folks that have been here for a while. You are all going. When no one came forward, the judge ordered the group into custody, and they were taken by police to the city jail, where they were searched and packed into crowded cells. Wow, I would just leave. I wonder if, like, people got busted with drugs and stuff like that, you know? Just
thinking
and watching.
That's right. Just by default, like how they used to catch people jumping the turnstile, and then all of a sudden it turns out they're on probation, they're wanted for something.
14 people who could not post bail were shackled and bussed to the Niagara County Jail in Lockport, a 30-minute drive away.
Oh, and then somebody probably has to pick you up.
How did all these people...
All because the one person who wouldn't be like, that's not my phone, that's my phone.
I don't understand how they all stuck together, though. Like, really? New York, you know, 9/11 was a long time ago. New Yorkers aren't banding together anymore, and I'm very surprised somebody didn't rat them out. Just fucking tell them.
You can't really tell, though, where the phone always comes from.
That is true. Sometimes you don't even know if it's your own or somebody else's. Yeah. That's true. Later in the afternoon, after being told reporters were calling, the judge ordered the defendants released. I think this is against the law, actually. The judge told the state panel that he was under stress in his personal life.
Do you get off on that? Because
I don't want you to be a judge if stress affects you.
But what? Also, you know who else's defense is that? Men who beat on their women.
The criminals.
Yeah.
She stresses me. I had to punch her in the face. Same defense.
She won't shut up.
Much like the ringtone.
Well, no.
Same thing.
Tech Andrew's saying, what is this?
Amy Winehouse tour manager left the tour because he tested positive for heroin. He blamed it on all the smack being smoked on the tour bus.
She or he?
He.
Amy Winehouse, the tour manager left the tour.
The tour manager left, yeah.
Because he tested positive for heroin.
Right.
So she has to quit the tour?
No, I think what he's saying is there was so much stuff being smoked on the bus that he's getting tested positive, blaming it on just the stuff in the air, I guess.
You know heroin. What I'm walking away from that with? You can smoke heroin? I did not know that.
You can smoke anything.
I guess. I didn't know you could smoke heroin, though.
He did heroin. How stupid. It was in the air so much.
I don't know.
It got into my blood. I probably shouldn't have been driving the bus some days. I'll be honest. Oh, well.
I think they're doing it just so the song gets a second wind. Now people are going to do they had to go to rehab.
Right. Oh, well. Well, good luck, Amy. Best of everything. You fucking mess. But you guys got Britney Spears. I'll take her. Guess what? I never got a chubby over Amy Winehouse. I'll tell you that much.
Now they're saying I saw in a magazine while I was in the supermarket that they're starting to say that Britney's pregnant again. All these poor girls who are in the media, because if you just gain a little bit of weight, they circle your stomach, point arrows to it. Look, she's got to be pregnant. And it turns out you just ate a little too much pasta the night before.
Yeah. I'd be in there like every other day. Kay's pregnant. I like pie. Oh, well. Anything else before we get out of here?
Actually. Oh, this weekend is my birthday, so we're going away on Friday. That's right.
You should have let me know.
We're going away on Friday, so instead of the midnight show on Friday, we're going to do it at 1. Also, starting December 1st, which is this Saturday, mm-hmm. December 2nd is my birthday, keithandthegirl.com/live, you can see all the promos for those for free, but it's $5 download. It's going to switch to being a $10 download on the 1st, unless we don't do it before we leave, and then you have a couple extra days because we're fuck-ups.
I'm going to do it before we leave.
Oh, nice. Okay. keithandthegirl.com/TV, spread the word. The latest video is about Keith's magics. Yes?
Oh, no. Wait. When you're done. The thing we talked about when you're done.
Oh, okay. And I think that's all, Drew.
I'm such a dick.
No way.
No. Well, as we were talking about, I am looking for someone to help me out with the website for the show, because right now it just sucks. And it makes me look bad.
What kind of thing are you looking for? Are you looking for a zillion buttons?
No, I want it to be very simple, but I want it to look good. So, there's a lot of smart people out there listening, so it was suggested to me to sort of reach out and see if anybody, you know, might be able to help me in that. Obviously in the New York area.
Why in the New York area? You can do this stuff over the internet.
I retract that statement.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know
anything about this.
People try. No, I'm fairly computer savvy, but this is a step beyond what I can do. And so, and I was also hoping maybe that person could help me spruce up the MySpace page a little bit. I know that's relatively simple, but
are
anyway.
Are you looking for donation of time?
delicate subject. If I couldn't pay much if it came down to it, but I mean, it all depends on what, you know, who contacts me, what kind of arrangement we can work out.
Okay. How do they contact you? MySpace is the best?
Yeah, hit me up on MySpace.
Okay. MySpace.com/DrewAndrew.
All right. And make sure you get the tickets for his upcoming show when they come out. So stay on top of it. It's fantastic. Poisonia from Jersey, real quick. I went to London, and my dad was trying to push me and my family to go sightseeing. He was talking about Big Ben and all that shit. Then all of a sudden, I go, fuck Ben. I hate the Ben. Screw the Ben. That's probably what they call it, the Ben. And all the Londoners around me gave me really dirty looks, like they're really insulted by the fact that I don't give a shit about the fucking Big Ben. Who the fuck cares?
And that's an English person from a different part of the country?
I think Jersey. So I think it's an American not understanding what's the big deal with the clock. Because that's all day. If that's all you have, if that's all you have is a bell, don't make fun of it. You know what I mean? It's like when you go into, a poor person's house and the house is shitty trash. Where I'm from, you see this all the time. Just the ugliest motorhome, but they got the little 5 ceramic figurines. Don't make fun of the figurines. Good on you, Big Ben. Good on. Bong! Ooh, again!